Let's open with hymn number 1. Beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
Confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
With the voice of singing declare ye and tell this, utter it even to the end of the earth. Hallelujah. The Lord hath redeemed his servant Jacob. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Spirit, that he may govern us according to thy will. Protect us from the power of the devil, from false doctrine and worship, and also defend our lives against all danger. Grant us thy blessing and peace, that we may in all things perceive thy merciful help, both now and forever. Praise and glorify thee as our gracious Father, through Jesus Christ, thy Son, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end. Our Old Testament lesson this morning is found in the 55th chapter of Isaiah, the 6th through the 11th verse. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Here ends the Old Testament lesson. The epistle is found in the first chapter of James, the 22nd through the 27th verse. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Here ends the epistle lesson. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Christ, who hath redeemed us with his blood, is risen and hath appeared unto us. Hallelujah. I came forth from the Father and am come into the world. Again I leave the world and go to the Father. Hallelujah. Found in the 16th chapter of John, the 23rd through the 30th verse. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world. Again I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now we are sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Here ends the gospel. Confess the Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
We sing hymn 458.
Mm-hmm.
Grace be unto you and peace in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is found in the 14th chapter of Hosea, the 5th through the 9th verse. I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. His branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon. They that dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall revive as the corn and grow as the vine. The scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do any more with idols? I have heard him and observed him. I am like a green fir tree. From me is thy fruit found. Who is wise, and he shall understand these things? Prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them. But the transgressors shall fall therein. Here ends our text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, these are thy words. Sanctify us in truth. Thy word is truth. Amen. Dear Christian friends, when you as a child need something important from a parent, you may be accustomed to simply ask, knowing that if it is an important or needful matter, they will hear you. When you ask them for a cup of water, they will give it to you. You become accustomed to asking for things that you need, and you take it for granted that they will hear you. In many ways, we've also come to take for granted our relationship with our Heavenly Father. We've grown so accustomed to be able to ask him that we hardly think of it as a privilege anymore. When you pray the Lord's Prayer or ask his blessing upon your meal, do you stop to consider what a privilege it is to ask of the Lord and have him hear you? Probably not. And though part of this is due to the natural ingratitude of our flesh, part of it is also that we have grown so familiar with our Lord's mercy and compassion for sinners in Christ Jesus that we simply pray without a second thought, much as a dear child would ask their dear father. And even so, our dear father would have it be. The knowledge of salvation in Jesus Christ has been so plainly revealed to us by the Holy Spirit that it is like breathing or drinking water. God in Jesus Christ has reconciled the world unto himself, and now, through his word and sacraments, he bids us to believe on him and be reconciled to God. We've learned that from our youth. What Christian child does not know that Jesus is their Savior because he died on the cross for their sins and rose again from the dead? Knowing that we have such a gracious Father who would so send his Son, it is a natural thing to ask the Father for what we need, particularly because he's promised to hear us. But it has not always been so that the knowledge of God's mercy and salvation has been so plainly and openly revealed to men. Even among those who believed on the Lord and were saved by faith, their understanding of the Father in heaven and access to him was limited compared to how it is with us today. It was limited by the Father's revelation of himself and of his salvation. Take the prophecy in our lesson. There the goodness and mercy of the Father is laid forth. There God makes a promise to his repentant people, to all who return to him and seek his mercy. He promises that he will be like the dew that waters the herb of the field, like a sheltering tree that protects them from the heat of the day. He will be like a fruitful tree that provides nourishment unto them, and he will make all the idols of the world to seem vain and useless by comparison. He reveals himself here as the source of all wisdom and knowledge and understanding. All who are made righteous in him will walk in these right ways of the Lord. This beautiful promise, among many others, taught Israel to hold fast to the God of salvation and seek wisdom and understanding from him, to turn from their evil and seek all goodness from him. For he alone is merciful and gracious. He alone is a savior to his people. All who heard and believed these words repented of their sins and turned unto the Lord, who gave them these promises. They were saved and they were justified by faith. But in these words, the plain manner of God's salvation was not revealed. They could not know that it would be through the man who is God made flesh, Jesus Christ, who through death and resurrection would accomplish all that God had promised to his people. They only knew that God would send them a Savior, that God would be with them as he was with Israel in the days when he delivered them out of Egypt, present among them, delivering them from sin and death. But because that promise was for the future, it was given in shadows and types. And it was only in those shadows and types that they could embrace these truths. They could indeed seek the Lord and call upon his name. But they could only do so as far as God had revealed himself. Nor did God send the prophet Hosea and the other prophets into all the world to preach these things. He sent them to Israel. The open relationship with God, such as a dear father has with his dear children, was a promise that was yet to be fulfilled. The name of this Sunday is Rogate, which means ask. In the gospel lesson, Jesus urges his disciples to ask the Father in his name. But the words of Jesus are not just about prayer. They are about the new relationship which we have with the Father through Christ. Here the promise of our sermon text is fulfilled. No longer does he come to us in shadows and types. He comes through his Son, Jesus Christ, who fulfills the Father's will and opens his heart that he might love poor sinners who are redeemed in his Son openly and freely. The sacrifices, ceremonies, and laws are all gone. For they were but the shadow, and now God's love has come to men. No longer does Jesus say, I will speak to the Father on your behalf. He urges us, ask him yourself, because the Father loves you. The Father is now with us through his Son. He refreshes us like the dew of the morning and hides us from the heat of the sun in the shadow of his branches. The refreshment which he gives to us is the forgiveness of sins. The shade which he offers is the rescue from death and hell. The fruit which he bears is his word and sacraments, which feeds us with the wisdom and knowledge of Christ, which is now openly revealed in the sight of men. Jesus has revealed a part of God which the remnant of God's people only knew in part. Before they knew Moses, a mediator which God had given them. The people could not bear to face God directly. They cried to Moses, you speak to the Lord, but do not let the Lord speak to us or we will die. Israel could not even bear to look upon the face of Moses when he came down from the mountain, because even a small reflection of God's glory was enough to terrify them. So much less did they dare go to the Father themselves to hear his will. They sent Moses. The Lord even ordained that a border be placed about Mount Sinai so that none of the children of Israel would approach past it. Moses was their mediator, and only Moses went to the Father with the requests for the people. And much later, the high priest served the same function. They alone were allowed behind the veil of the temple to approach the mercy seat of God. And the ceremonies and the law acted as a hedge, separating Israel from the nations, and likewise the oracles of God which revealed his salvation were kept up there, ready to be revealed when God so willed. All these things were for a time, and they served a purpose, that God might bring in everlasting salvation through his Son, Jesus Christ, not just to the Jews, but to the entire world. They served their purpose. But now in Jesus Christ, the veil has been torn in two. Jesus is not a second Moses. Jesus is not a new or more perfect lawgiver. Jesus is God's mercy come to men. He entered once into the holy place and sacrificed himself for all sin, for all time. And now no one need fear to ask of the Father. Mount Sinai no longer thunders for those who are in Christ, for the Father loves poor sinners and does not demand that they flee from his presence. He does not require that they send a mediator, a class of priests, to stand between God and men, for in Christ Jesus we are all made priests, and we all have access to the Father by our Lord Jesus Christ. The one mediator, Jesus Christ, has come and has made God to be at peace with men. And therefore we need not fear to go directly to the Father and ask anything in Jesus' name. What a difference from the manner in which God dealt with his people before Christ was revealed. Even though then as now it was only by faith that anyone was saved, God had hidden himself within a system of ceremonies and rituals through which he ordained that his people were to come to know him. The knowledge of salvation was not openly revealed, but was hidden within that system of sacrifices and prophecies that foreshadowed the truth, but did not fully reveal it. God was their salvation. God would save them through his promised seed, which is Christ. But who, how, and when God would do these things was not clearly revealed. Even the plain truths in Isaiah 53 concerning the suffering servant who would be smitten for the transgressions of his people were not so plainly understood prior to the fulfillment in Jesus. And yet this much they learned, that their only hope, their only refreshment, their only justification could come freely from the Lord. This he still bids us to believe. Who is wise who does not understand these things? The prophet Hosea asks. Who is wise who does not know that the Lord is gracious and full of compassion? And who now today is prudent, who does not know that the ways of the Lord are not only right, but that he makes right and just all those who walk in them, and all those who walk in mercy and know him as a gracious, loving Father through his Son, Jesus Christ? Through the sacrifices, the people had access to a gracious God who forgave the sins of his people by virtue of his promise. But wrapped up as it was in the system of rituals and ceremonial laws, only the Jews know of it, and of them but few understood and believed rightly in the God of salvation. The wisdom of salvation was hidden from the nations, waiting to be revealed unto them. When Jesus came, he too did not openly declare all things to his disciples in the plain manner that one might expect after having read, say, the epistles of Paul. Jesus spoke in parables. And we see that even when he spoke so plainly to his disciples, they did not understand. In Mark 9:31, we hear, "The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And after that he is killed, he shall rise again the third day." But they understood not that saying, and were afraid to ask him. They did not yet have the knowledge which God would impart through his Spirit. And so even though the sounds and the meanings of the words which Jesus spoke have not ever changed, it was only later that they finally understood. Today this has not changed at all. Though you may take for granted the knowledge of salvation, it is still only by the Spirit of God that you come to understand and believe them. The proof can be seen wherever in the world you look, for the world is full of unbelief. They hear the same words that you hear, but because of their impenitence and unbelief, they hear only gibberish and foolishness. They may pray to some unknown God, but they cannot pray to the Father and be heard by him, for they cannot pray in Jesus' name, for they do not know him. God offers them the same Spirit who dwells in you, who teaches you his word, and who opens your heart so that you may believe in his Son, Jesus Christ. But they reject his Spirit by refusing to hear his word. They do not walk in his ways, and they are not just, because only the word of the gospel can make them just. Only Jesus can make them righteous by faith. Without it, they can only walk in their transgressions and fall forever in them. Faith is a rare thing. God has granted it to you through His Spirit, whereby He unlocks for you all of the riches of His heavenly wisdom and knowledge. He has given you access to His Father. Therefore, cherish it, dear Christian, for God has chosen to give you a precious gift. He would have you to be His own, not just for a brief time on this earth, but forever. For the Father Himself loveth you. In Christ Jesus, He refreshes you like the morning dew, and He shelters you from the heat of eternal damnation with His branches of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Let these words revive you, make you wise, and grant you righteousness unto everlasting life. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. O Lord God, whose thoughts and ways are as far removed from ours as the heaven from the earth, who in thy mercy dost receive with pardon thy penitent children, we praise and glorify thee for thy great goodness. We give thee our heartfelt thanks for the precious gift of thy Son Jesus, whom thou didst send that we might have abundant life, and who to accomplish his task innocently and humbly suffered the afflictions of this life, took our sins and infirmities in his own body, and bore them unto death upon the cross. We sing forth and honor thy name, O Lord God, for this great salvation. And now, trusting in the promise of thy Son, that whatsoever we shall ask of thee in his name thou wilt grant, we beseech thee to grant us hearts that gladly hear the word of thy Son and willingly obey his doctrine. Send forth thy word into all the world, that it may accomplish that which thou hast sent it to do, bringing salvation where it is believed, and condemnation where it is rejected. Bless thy church, and let it be a loving union of the faithful, a holy communion in sacred things, a people of faith and prayer, exercising a true religion in the performance of every merciful work. As thou dost govern the nations of this earth, look in mercy upon them and turn them into the ways of justice, righteousness, and peace. Especially do we beseech thy gracious favor upon our land. Bestow upon our presidents, legislators, and all of our judges minds and hearts to perform their duties with diligence, equity, and honor. Defend us from all enemies within and without. Overcome all workers of unrighteousness, and grant us a love of holiness and purity. Bless all our loved ones, especially do we remember before thee the sick and those who mourn. Let them seek thee and receive thy gracious help, and be mercifully delivered from all their distresses. Now, O Lord, keep us steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in thy work, for as much as we know that in thee our labor is not in vain. In the name of Jesus we pray always. Amen. We sing hymn number 459. Son Jesus Christ our Lord, for he is the very Paschal Lamb which was offered for us, and hath taken away the sins of the world, who by his death hath destroyed death, and by his rising to life again hath restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart. We sing the Nunc Dimittis. Forsake thy children, but evermore to rule our hearts and minds by thy Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve thee, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. We sing hymn 245.
Of love.
The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.